talk about getting off to a fast start. Casey, I want you to kind of introduce some of these guys that are on the call with us. I know, and Ed, I don't think Pietro Valle is on the host code. So, you know, may want Ed Orrell to introduce Mitch, and then we can get Woodbury to talk to Scott as well. Ed, you still with us on the host code, buddy?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We got you loud and clear, man. Let's talk about getting off to a fast start. Mitch Morris has done that. Direct to Brian Pietrovalli, who's one of your fastest-growing legs. Talk about Mitch for a second, man. Let's get him on the phone, intro him. Let's see what he has to say.
Well, thanks for having me. Ed Orrell down here in South Florida, direct to you guys. And I'll tell you what, Mitch is I first met Mitch when – actually met him at a conference, I believe – talk about getting off to a fast start. Mitch was his first exposure to us was actually at the national conference in Atlanta. So that was his. He's done before he even got licensed, made a dollar, and did anything. His belief level has just been so high. He went to conference, and I said, "Hey, I was up in D.C. I guess about three or four weeks ago, and about right after conference, I said, "Hey, Mitch, I want you to," or I think I told Brian or Trish, let's get Mitch and see if Mitch will come to D.C. for the meeting because we're going to be there. He just flew in, and another one of those belief things. I mean, so another one of those stories where just a high level of belief, committed, went all in and backed it up with doing things without direct compensation, like going to the conference, flying out from Dallas to D.C., and no surprise, he's written $20,000 his first 4 weeks with us. I mean, it's like it's so getting off to a fast start is what are you doing to number one, how much do you believe? And then we can ask you, you'd say you believe, but I'm talking action-wise. I mean, you could see what Mitch is that he believes. I mean, his belief level, he's backed it up time and time again doing these things, going to conference, flying out to D.C., counseling, associating. And he's so humble, too. I mean, it's talk about his attitude of gratitude. He's just so respectful and like I know Trisha flew into Dallas and for the meeting a couple weeks ago and he picked her up and had coffee waiting and I mean that's just kind of like that humble servant mentality, but then you're serving yourself the most, if that makes sense. So like he's just such a great attitude and spirit of gratitude and then again, not surprised he's tripping over because he's making mistakes and he's learning, but just because of his belief for the most part, $20,000, and he's not. Is he working in the backyard? No. I mean, where he is right now, we're ramping up. So he drives 3 hours every week. Drives 3 hours down south, central Texas. Goes down there, picks a bunch of business up, comes back home. Great attitude. Never complains. Never whines. It just, I mean, it's like everything. If we could draw out what we want, how we want you to act your first like 6 weeks, he would be the definition. We should probably put him up on like Wikipedia or something. Get that knocked out. And like the ideal intern / associate first 90 days. And I'm just so proud of him. He's got his own office too. He's got a little shop set up in Dallas and populating that. So I mean, just like one of those guys that pushes the done button. Everything you say, he doesn't question it. You don't need to sell him. He doesn't say, Hey man, could you sell me on? You really want me to fly out to D.C.? Can you tell me the benefit and the pros and cons of that visit? Like, none of that nonsense. Like, I'd be honored to. Can I buy you lunch? Like, it's exciting, and he's going to be massive with us, and that attitude is going to earn him, and it's going to earn him a bunch of followers and potential leaders because people follow guys like that. And we can help him get a following, which is where we are. Then he won't have to hustle like all his peers. I mean, 23 right out of college, they're all getting jobs, serving other employers, and he's going to be an employer. By the time they get their first raise, he's going to be an employer of men instead of an employee. So just so proud of him and everything he does and stands for. And he'll share with you some of the things he's done. But it's Mitch Morris.
Well, thank you, Ed, and Brennan and Casey for having me on the conference call. It's an honor. I appreciate it. Mitch Morris, direct to Brian Pietrovalli up in D.C., and just feel like I'm in a great position right now. And you know, it's like Ed said, you you know, I mean, the first thing I did was, you know, I chose whether or not to believe in this company and, you know, believe in, you know, our core beliefs and values, not just growing your business, but, you know, you're growing yourself. And yeah, it's not asking them why when they tell me to do something. You know, like I said, I see the growth and success of this company. So really asking why is kind of irrational thinking in my mind. That's really it. What I'm doing is I'm just doing what they tell me to do. It's, you know, I haven't had any kind of sales experience before, and like the whole production side, I just view it as it's a gasoline to my car to get to be able to reinvest in my business, become an employer, not an employee. So it's exciting. I'm fired up.
Hey Mitch, what were you doing before? What were you doing before this? How did we find you?
I was actually going to business graduate school at up in D.C. I'm not sure why, but I was interning with Brian and Tricia's company, and Tricia put me in touch with Brian, and you know, I met with Brian, and you know, we talked a little bit about the company, and I really didn't have, you know, he asked me what my goals were, you know, what I really want, and you know, kind of took me off guard because I wasn't sure. You know, I was like, well, you know, I'm up here going to business graduate school. I guess I'm going to, you know, get some kind of flashy job or something after that. And you know, it really made me reevaluate, you know, what I want, not just as a career, but, you know, who I want to be personally. And just, I believe my core values and what this company's core values are, I think that they're just a match. So, you know, it's such an amazing feeling knowing that I'm 23 and I know what I want to do for the rest of my life. So,
what did you do to get the belief level? Because, again, we talk about how important it is to get that belief, but that comes first. We talked about on the builder's call a second ago, so many people think, well, I get results, and when I get results, then I'll believe, versus Mitch, who says, I'm going to get my belief first because that's the ground level, and then I'll get results because I have belief. Where did you get that belief from right out of the gate? Like, what were some of the first times? Did you see a corporate overview? Was it a meeting? Did you get to the conference? What was your step there?
It was really just some informal conversations with Brian, and we had kind of talked about the company and kind of the success that you guys are having. You know, I have a lot of respect for the Pietravalles. They're both very successful. You know, I worked with Tricia on a daily basis, so, you know, I know that they're got a good mind, you know, a good head on their shoulders. They're not leading me in the wrong direction. So, you know, it's just, you know, I wanted to associate with people like that, and I believed in them, and, you know, they believed in this company, so, you know, I kind of went towards the company.
How big of a deal was the conference in Atlanta for you getting a fast start with us?
Well, I was committed in my mind before I came to conference, but once I came to conference, before I didn't really understand the opportunity that what this company presents to us, and just to, you know, just to see you guys talking, you know, kind of the success that we've had since you guys have been in business, and where we're going, where we're projecting to go to. I mean, I was like, wow, I just fell into something amazing. So, I mean, it just amplified my belief level in a sense. Conference.
That's cool. And then so which spring forwards are you hitting?
I'm trying to hit both. Of course, the one in Waco, but I'm going to fly up to Asheville, associate with you guys, see you there in May. So,
I love it. It'll be fun. Hopefully you'll be here for the Key Leaders Workshop and the retreat. Sounds like you're putting yourself on pace to do that. How's the paychecks been?
Something that I would have never imagined me receiving at age 23, so I'll just put it that way.
When you start getting commas in your paycheck, that's kind of weird when you're 23, ain't it?
It's a little strange.
It's a little different. Casey, it even gets better when you start getting commas in your paycheck, and you're like, where did that come from? Oh, that's override.
Exactly.
Override income.
Start getting commas in your paycheck when you're out of town on vacation for a week, you know, in Mexico or something.
Exactly. I remember getting a text from Edward Pritchett several months ago. It was like, comma in the ACH deposit. It's not anything to do with my own.
Yep.
That's when you know it.
Love those ACH
deposits. Starting to get a lot of fun. It's like the best email you can ever get. Yeah, unless it's one of those, it's like $32, like with some sort of tail end commission from something. You're expecting a comma, but you get $31. Where'd that come from? So,
yeah,
and yes, what else, man? Anything else you can tell us? Any like, if I'm new on the phone and I'm kind of where you were at 4 weeks ago, what would you tell? What would you tell somebody like that?
Well, I think that the most, you know, I've had a month to look, you know, retrospectively at, you know, kind of what, you know, where I've started and where I've come from. And I think the hardest thing that I've come across, it's not production, it's not building, it's none of that. It's just managing yourself. It's you know, once you have that belief and you have your leaders, your mentors, you know, getting you the, I mean, a schedule, I mean, it's you have to just be able to listen to it. And, you know, believe 100%. And if you can manage yourself and stick to a tight schedule, then you'll be fine.
What kind of leads were you working when you first got started?
Oh, old leads, $2 leads. The largest policy I've sold has been off our 25-cent lead. So a lead's a lead. It's a beautiful thing we have here with our direct mail system.
Yeah, so you got some older leads just to kind of get things going and kind of gotten yourself to the point where you can make a larger investment on a weekly basis, right?
Right. It's kind of like what you were saying with the A leads. Once you get the standing A leads coming in, and I think this is my second week of my standing A lead order, so it's, you know, it's, I've got a schedule now exactly. I know what my mind, what I'm going to be getting, and it's good. It works with the schedule.
How often do you talk to Brian and Trish and Ed?
More than my parents, that's for sure. And I speak with my parents on a daily basis, too. So.
Okay. you talk.
I don't have
talk.
A number.
Isn't that kind of weird, Brandon? It seems like the people that reach out and try to connect the most and just try to, again, use their mentor's hindsight is their foresight.
Yep.
The top chasers in the organization, the people that we hear from the most, like we talk to, you know, Ed Arrell, we talk to Ed Pritchett every day. We talk to, it seems like the guys we talk to the most, that reach out the most, that are trying to kind of find those potential landmines that they don't want to step in, that maybe Brian and Trish avoided because Ed helped them avoid that. And you're kind of, it's not a shortcut, but it is a shortcut if nobody else does it. You know, and if we're talking about how to get started fast, it's, I'm going to tuck down and I'm going to be as aerodynamic as I can, and I'm going to tuck down behind my leader and just kind of try to do everything they did. And I get no resistance that way because resistance slows me down, that wind resistance. And so you just, well, we always say a high speed, low drag, Mitch. That's what you got going, so. Proud of you, man.
Edward Pritchett always compares that to NASCAR.
Yeah, he's a big NASCAR fan.
He is. Good stuff,
man. Cool.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to seeing you guys in about a month. Seeing how many people you can have down there in Waco with you. Yeah, good one. Hey, Casey, one thing I forgot to do a minute ago before we go to Scott is I got kind of fired up about bonus leads and forgot to mention all the A leads that we have in inventory. So key lead spots, for those of you that were wondering what happened, it's called ADD, unfortunately. Florida. Yeah, here's some areas that we've got a lot of A leads. There's 54 in Miami, Florida, 24 in Orange County. Pasco has 20, and Sumter has 19. Missouri, we could make a deal on some Missouri leads. There's 7 leads between St. Charles and St. Louis. Let's go 2-for-1 on Missouri. There's not a whole lot there, but certainly be willing to get up there and, you know, I'll give you half price on the A leads, and then you can get some bonus leads. North Carolina, 2-for-1 is pretty good. Not going to do a deal on North Carolina yet. Guilford County has 10, Macon County has 8, and good Lord, man, when I was a producer, I made so much money in Macon County. It's crazy. That's Franklin. So
yep.
Allegheny County in Pennsylvania has 14 A leads. Greenville, South Carolina has 12 additional A leads. Not going to make a deal on those because those will get snatched up very quickly, but I will make a deal on these.
And if I know the people sitting in the room next to me, they've got like their fingers ready to do the walking, as they used to say, when you're getting ready to make a dial. Remember that old bell sound? They're getting ready to call Pam or shoot her an email. South Carolina, I'll go 2-for-1 on these as well, just because I want to see somebody make a huge, have a huge week out of these areas. Abbeville, South Carolina, all of these areas are pretty close to each other. Abbeville is maybe an outlier, but it borders, I believe it borders Greenville. If not, it's very close. These next counties are all right close together in a cluster. Cherokee County, so those of you that either are here in Asheville, maybe those of you that are in Charlotte, I'll go 2-for-1 on these. Cherokee County, Chester County, Lancaster County, and Union County all border each other, and there is 9, 18, 21 A-leads all sitting in a cluster right there in South Carolina. 2-for-1 A-leads. When you mark, get set, go. All right, Casey. I did that. I apologize. I got off topic a minute ago. But those are all of our leads in inventory. Again, don't email us. Email Pam, and we'll get you those right away. I want to hear from Scott Sturm now, and it's great because, Woodbury.
Yeah.
Scott has been steady Eddie for a long while. He hasn't, it's not like he's been with us a very long time, but he's also not brand spanking new, right?
Correct.
Where did I first meet Scott? Where were we, Cleveland?
We were in Chicago.
Chicago, okay. And then I think I saw him maybe in Cleveland as well. I remember, you know, we have a rule where we don't really count you on the team. Ed O'Rell's big about this. We don't really count you on the team until we've seen you 5 times, because once you get through, like, that 5th time, our attrition goes way, 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 way down. And so this guy was burning up the roads kind of all over the place, be it Chicago, Cleveland, you know, everywhere that we were, we saw Scott. Now, that was been a little while ago, but, man, talk about just absolutely exploding on the scene here over the past, really, 60 to 90 days. This week, $7,771.68. His averages always look right on, meaning he's not one of these guys, John, that just kind of gets big, huge deals, and so you see him at, like, 10 grand for the month on, like, 2 policies.
Right.
That's a little bit of a red flag. You've got 19 policies, $25,261. So he's still a little bit above average, but that's pretty close to right where you want to be. All right, pretty close to, you know, 1,000 per app. And I want you to kind of intro Scott. But what have you seen, you know, with him, John, kind of over the last, call it 90 days, that's really kind of the light has come on, and just the production has exploded.
Sure. I'm John Woodbury, hired by SFG from Wisconsin. Thanks for having me on. Boy, Scott Sturm, I tell you what, this guy keeps moving left on my board, guys. He's just a spark plug. He's coachable. He's one of the guys who kind of just hits the done button. Mitch, you know, doesn't ask questions, keeps his head down, and moves fast. But we definitely made it hard for Scott. Had him come to Chicago, had him come off to Columbus, up to Wisconsin. And, you know, you keep seeing him show up, never questioning, and that's just kind of how his attitude is, just coachable. And I tell you, I talk with Scott probably 5 or 6 times a day. One of the first calls I get in the morning is Scott, and one of the last calls I get at night is Scott. But really for him, it was coming out of conference that he just exploded. You know, he's always doing the right things. I think much like Mitch, he was committed, no doubt about that, guys. But conference had an impact on Scott. And maybe we should just let Scott talk about it.
Absolutely.
Scott, you on, buddy?
Yep, right here. Scott Sturm, I got hired by John Woodbury from Eastern Iowa. And just like the guy said, I'm not real brand new, but not here a long time. I started probably around last October is when I came aboard SFG.
How did we find you, Scott? John, how'd you find him?
Actually, he was hired by an agent who's no longer with us.
Gotcha.
And
I hate to say it, but man, it happens sometimes, and it's not all that bad of a thing, unfortunately.
I will say that part of his explosion is when he went direct to me, and I'll take a little bit of credit for that.
How much have you produced, Scott? Scott, see, how much this month so far?
This month?
I think it's right around in between 20 and 25,000, not counting this week.
Wow. This week here, before this week, Scott, you're at 25,261 on 19 apps.
Yep. There'll be a couple more apps coming this week for sure. So.
Brandon, imagine hiring a guy named Scott, and then leaving the business, only to find out that guy you hired is doing $25,000-$30,000 a month of production. And Scott, are you building a team, right?
Yep, got a couple agents under me that are starting to produce themselves. Dustin Brooks has really started to come along and start to write business consistently, and got a couple new agents that just started getting on the phone.
That'd be a tough pill to swallow, Brandon. Imagine overriding, let's say the guy hired you was going to override 5 or 10%, Scott. And you'd have been fine with that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you got 10% of, let's call it, I don't know, 40,000 between you and your team. What's 10% of 40 grand?
4,000,
man. Well, that's a heck of a piece of real estate that would provide me, let's even call it 2 grand a month profit. How much money do you have to put down on a piece of real estate, Brandon, to net 2 grand a month passive? You got to find a really good deal these days, and you probably have to put down 10 to 20% on an investment property, as you know, and then you're certainly not guaranteed that 2 grand passive. I mean, you're talking about passive, 1,000. I mean, that's... Lord, you're talking about investing in maybe $1 million or $2 million property that's got instant equity that you can rent out the whole thing and hope that nothing breaks down. So imagine having something like that and then just stepping away from it and being like, somebody else can have it. You know? That's how you end up. And I don't want that anymore. I don't want to
that.
Man, we don't want to get down on anybody, but we're proud of you for hanging in there and getting that production up and hiring and all that kind of good stuff. So conference was a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. That's when things started to change for me. It's not that I didn't know what we were doing and what the focus was. It's just that getting down there and associating and seeing all the other people that have done it and made a success of it, that was huge. It just made you realize more and more that you can do it just as well as they. I mean, a man's a man, you know, and if one guy can do it, another guy can do it. It's just that will he, and I decided to really focus on a lot of the little things, like being on conference calls and, you know, making sure you go for no. I don't know if anyone's ever read that book, but that book's a great book for me. It really made a change. Instead of getting 10 appointments set on my A-leads every week, I try to get, you know, 10 no's every week on my A-leads, and by the time I get 10 no's, I definitely got 10 appointments every week, and that's a huge thing for me.
Love it. How long did you work bonus leads before you were getting any A-leads, Scott?
Oh, I lived off bonus leads for the first 3 months in this business because, as you know, it takes a couple weeks to get your A-lead flowing in your area, and took some travel trips for a month there in January and February, and had some success doing that, and that's what got the ball rolling. And definitely every week, I still to the day every week put a bonus lead order in and grab,
right.
You know, just like I heard you say, Brandon, a couple weeks ago on the call, you're like, it just, you know, drives me crazy knowing that, you know, someone else can buy up those bonus leads and go make 10 grand on them. Well, why not you? Why not you buy them up and go do that? Because they do work. They just take a little bit more time to work them, like you said, they work.
They work, man. So you followed it to a T, Casey, where he's... He used it to get started, used it to create the bridge to where he could get an A-lead order in, and then uses it now to supplement A-leads. It's exactly what it's meant to do, Scott. Exactly what it's meant to do.
Brandon,
so.
Brandon, 50% of Scott's 25 grand came off of bonus leads this month.
I love it. I love it, man. It's the way it can be. You know, it's the way it can be, but it doesn't have to be 100%. Like, show me somebody on the leaderboard that has 100%. I might say, well, this one guy here takes nothing but bonus leads and he's at 20 grand for the month. We don't build our businesses based on the exception to the rule. Right, John? You build your business based on the rules that we know that work,
There we go. So, man, I'm excited about your organization, John Woodbury. And I know that Scott is, you know, a huge part of that. Let me pull you up right here real quick. And it's not going to be long before you have Scott on the Emerging Leaders Leaderboard. Let me pull your organization up right here. $40,000 in production for the week. Good week, Woodbury. And, you know, just starting to see a lot of good things. I'm looking for your month-to-date numbers, and it must be in a different stack. I bet it's right here. Month-to-date, $104,278. One more week to go, Woodbury. What do you have to say, man? Because I know that things have changed, obviously, for Scott. It's like something, when you're around long enough, you give your time, you give yourself time for your efforts to duplicate, to multiply, to come to fruition, right? Because it's not an instant gratification business. But your organization has gone through a huge explosion over the past 2 months as well. And, you know, obviously, it's a great deal of that is due to the leaders that you have in your organization on your team. But what else, man? Has anything changed in the last 90 days, just say the last really 60 days coming out of conference? What's changed with your focus for your organization?
Well, I think a conference has had a big impact on everybody, Brandon. It just really did. And, you know, I think you know all the stuff. You've heard all the stuff before. I don't care. You got to hear it again. And that had a big impact. I pulled myself out of the field and just kind of focused on the business. With, you know, obviously you guys counseled me through that step. And just keeping our head down, guys. I mean, this isn't rocket science for what we need to do. It's just it really, truly, Ed tells you the numbers, and he's exactly right. It's just a numbers game. And if you understand that, you know, buying production, you know, buying your agents, it's true. And just really we have a better grasp of what this business model can offer and a better grasp of what we want out of this, and we're committed.
Yep. John, we got 6 weeks, if my math is correct. We got 6 weeks until we're converging into Indianapolis, going to the United Home Life campus. You're going to be a big part of that meeting. Between you, I'll ask you this. I'll tell you what, I'll ask Scott first. But Scott, what is your goal on how many people that you're going to have there with you?
Well, I should have at least 5 people there at the minimum besides myself.
All right. 5 people. Woodbury, what do you think, man?
I think we need at least 60 there, and I think the count you have has got to be wrong because I got some people committed. I want to see that list.
Yeah, we'll get that to you.
Thank you.
We'll get that to you. Everybody loves a leaderboard, don't we?
It's effective.
Well, you know, we like putting the focus on Casey's. He always says that there's so many things that you can really focus on in this business, right? Unfortunately, most people tend to focus on things that are really outside of their control, and they don't get it. But the smart thing to do is focus on, we say focus on, obviously, the things that are in your control, but focus on the system. And the system is, you know, using your, you know, creating a funnel to get people into something, some type of event where they see the bigger picture. Because the ultimate goal, guys, is pretty simple. I want people to make a decision. If I can get people to make a decision, then their actions start to back up what that decision details. Does that make sense? So if I can get you, John Woodbury, if you can find, for example, you know, a Scott Sturm coming into conference, makes a decision, and I love the attitude that he had where, hey, if this guy can do it, I can do it. You know, we all put our pants on one leg at a time, right? And I'm not going to let anybody outwork me. And that's what I hear from Scott Sturm. And it maybe it took Scott to get in a room of 200 to 300 people to really make that decision, to see somebody else or to see 10 or 20 other people that were doing something that he knew he was capable of doing. And, guys, this is no different. The Spring Forward meetings are, you know, many conferences where we're coming to you. There's no cost. But the goal is the same. How many people, John Woodbury, can you get there? That is your focus. You've got 6 weeks, right? Your team has 6 weeks to put the focus on how many people can we get to Indianapolis or to whatever Spring Forward event that they're closest to or to several of them, right? Because the ultimate goal is how many people can I get to make a decision? Once a decision is made,
then the light begins to come on and people realize, hey, man, this thing ain't rocket scientist. My dad used to always say, it ain't rocket surgery. We can do this thing, right? I just got to get people making a decision. So we'll leave you with that.